Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your house today freely. We thank you for allowing us to be able to worship you freely, dear Lord. Dear Lord, I pray that you lead and you guide me consciously and unconsciously into exactly what I need to say today, dear Lord, to exactly what the people here need to hear, dear Lord. Just guide me, lead me, comfort me, help me get through this, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
I've never done a Sunday morning, so I'm a little nervous, but we're going to get through it. When pastors asked me to do this, he gave me a topic, and that's the only reason why I said yes, because it's a topic that I'm passionate about. We're going to talk about warfare prayer today, because we're at war. We're at war. I know now anytime you turn on the TV or you look at news, there's countries fighting, the political parties are fighting, our families are being pulled apart, children are shooting each other in schools. We are at war. But we're at war spiritually. The devil is mad and he is fighting. He's fighting harder than he's ever fought. And our only strategy is prayer. And guess what? We got to get serious. Amen. We've got to get serious. We can no longer afford to be passive Christians with our heads in the sand, just hoping none of our loved ones come under attack. We can't do that anymore. That doesn't work. We've got to get it together. Right now, our homes and our families, our church, all of these things that are important to us are being attacked. So we've got to get serious about prayer. We've got to learn how to spiritually defend ourselves and our families. So when Satan comes to torment us or our families or our church, that we don't cower, that we fight boldly. We fight with authority. That God gave us that authority, and we've got to use it. We've got to take it. Amen. Now, we've kind of talked, I've heard everyone that's been up here today talk about how they've been under attack. So this message is right on time. Yeah. I'm so excited that the Holy Spirit, this message, I have to tell you guys, when I was studying in my office and the Holy Spirit, I have never had him come to me so quickly and so fast and just feed it. I was taking notes and just listening, and he was feeding me. I texted the pastors because I wanted to just scream glory in my office because of what he was giving me. It was just awesome. But how many of you know Satan's going to go after the boldest, the hardest? So that's why he's attacking us the hardest, because I know we've got some really bold people in here. So we've got to fight harder. Too many Christians have become passive and are being taken out of this world way too soon. They're not completing the task that the Lord has set out for them because they're not fighting. They're passive. We cannot sit back and be passive Christians. We have got to make sure that we're being diligent in our prayer. So in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He is looking for people to take out of this world. That's his job. So in the message, and I'm going to have a lot out of the message because I really like how it kind of breaks it down for you and gives you another view of it. It says, keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Too many Christians are living defeated with no sense of peace, joy, power. They feel beat down by life. But we don't have to. We don't have to feel this way. This is why we have got to call the devil out and tell him no more. We're done. We've got to tell him, though. We can be victorious because the Bible proclaims us victors. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So it tells us He's going to give us victory. So in the Message, and so y'all just be patient with me because this is a little long, but it's good. But let me tell you something wonderful, a mystery I'll probably never fully understand. We're not all going to die, but we are all going to be changed. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet, and then the time that you look up and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from the trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment and in the same way, we'll be changed. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. This mortal replaced by the immortal. Then the saying will come true. Death swallowed by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and law, code, guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank God. So in a moment, all of that gone. We win. We become victorious. We are victors. I don't know about you guys, but I want to fight harder. I want to be triumphant while I'm on this earth. I don't want to leave this place not completing what God has set out for my life. I have a feeling you guys don't either. I want my family to thrive. I find comfort in knowing the end of the story, like it just said. We win. Do you guys understand that? That's exciting. We win as Christians. We might have to go through some stuff, but we're victors. We're victorious. So, while we're on this earth, do you know how we can ensure that our families are triumphant? It's real simple. It's four words. The blood of Jesus. That's how we stay triumphant. And we have to be diligent in it. Church, we've got to get serious about this. This is the only way that we can thrive until the final victory when Jesus comes back for us. That's the only thing that we can do. We've got to stay diligent in our prayer and our pleading the blood of Jesus. So in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Those are all resources for us. These are all the things that we've got to have together when we're praying, as we're diligently going through this earth. And again, I have this one in the Message. God is strong, and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Everything. I don't know if you know this. You can fight everything he throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to finish against the devil and all of his angels. And it is life or death, because if we're not fighting, that gives the devil a stronghold to take us out. That's what we want to do. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you're still on your feet. Amen. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. Indispensable. It can't be broken. It can't be torn up. It can't be taken apart. It is indispensable, and it is ours to use. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Sometimes we get tired of the fight, so we have to hold our brothers and sisters up. We have to encourage them to continue that fight. Prayer is essential in this fight. Pleading the blood of Jesus over all aspects of our life so the devil can't even get his pinky toe in the door. We don't want him to have any kind of hold on us. We don't want any part of him trying to get through. Now, this is something that I kind of learned when I was studying for this, and it was kind of unique to me and brought all this to another light. Did you know pleading the blood of Jesus is actually a legal term? It's legal. So you think of it as a lawyer is pleading his case in front of a judge. Yeah. He presents the facts and the evidence to support his case. Psalms 43:1 says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." So we're pleading our case. When our accuser, Satan, says we're guilty, our plea to our judge God is the blood of Jesus. Yes. That's what we say, but the blood. The devil's going to come, but you're going to say, but the blood. Yes. But the blood. Yes. The blood of Jesus established a better and new covenant between us and God. So Hebrews 8:6-7. "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates," another legal term, "for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the..." But yes, new covenant. We've gone from the old to the new. One more. So Hebrews 9:11-15. "So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands, and is not..." Am I reading the right thing? Sorry. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. "He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands, and is not part of the created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time, and secured our redemption forever." That was the part I was missing. So we no longer have to give the blood of goats and calves, because God died on the cross and he shed his blood. The blood is our defense. It declares that we are not guilty, but free from all penalty. Penalty of sin, but we must We must use it. We're not using it. The blood also gives us authority and dominion over evil. With the blood of Jesus, we can kick the devil out of all of our affairs, out of every aspect of our life, to include our families' lives. But again, we've got to use it. It's almost like putting a restraining order on the devil. We're telling him, you can't come me, you can't come near my family, you can't come near my church. We got to put a restraining order on him. We got to do this daily, though, guys. We have got to plead the blood of Jesus daily, because if we're not, we're giving him that room to fit that little pinky toe in. And then before we know it, he's got that whole foot in. We've got to do this daily. When the devil says we're guilty, we plead the blood, because when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, it took away all rights from the devil. It took away all rights. He has no rights. We just have to remind him from time to time. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He has to. In the Message, so let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. We don't have to yell at God. He hears our cries. Even if they're internal, even if we don't even say a thing, he hears us. He knows. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I see a lot of words here. I see all, I see nothing, I see power. It doesn't say just a little bit. It doesn't say some. It says all, and it says nothing shall hurt you. It doesn't say some things might hurt you. Nothing. So in the Message, Jesus said, I know. I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you? Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. No one can put a hand on you. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. So the blood of Jesus reversed every part of the curse. It reversed sickness and disease. It reversed poverty and lack. It reversed depression and strife. It reversed addiction. We have to shout at the devil, it is finished. It is over. It is done. No longer. These things no longer have legal rights in our lives. But we have got to tell the devil, no, 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 go away. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. So who can plead the blood over Jesus? Who can plead the blood? That's easy. It's a good news. That's easy. You know that red easy button Staples has? It's easy. Guess what? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's yours. It's a magic wand. Ta-da, it's yours. You get it. I like easy. I don't know about y'all, but I like easy. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus came and he knew no sin, but he took all of our sin. He took it all. In the Children's Bible, Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin. God did this for us so that in Christ we could become right with God. When Satan tries to attack any area of your life, you've got to plead the blood of Jesus. Sometimes it may feel like you're begging God, but it's not. Remember, it's a legal term. You're not begging. You're asking, and you're telling Satan to go away, and you're asking God to do these things for you. He took our sins so we could be acquitted from sin and use his blood in our own defense. So the definition for acquitted is free from a criminal charge by a verdict of not guilty. Synonyms: absolve, clear, exonerate, declare innocent. We are innocent. So what do I plead the blood of Jesus over? Well, when is every day, over everything. Home, finances, body, health, mind, emotions, vehicles, places, paths, futures. We have got to plea it over everything. We plea over specific people, over specific things, call out names. When I'm pleading the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to give you guys some examples of what I do, this doesn't mean this is how you do it. You've got to be led to do it how you need to do it. But when I say over specific people, Emily, my husband, and myself, I plea over each one of us, back to back. But I plea, when I plea over our vehicle, I call it out. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over my Nissan Sentra, that it will keep Amy safe. It will travel to and fro safely. It will keep me safe. It will function and operate just like it's supposed to. And guess what? No car accidents. So you've got to be specific. Call the name of the vehicle. I don't want the devil to have any kind of inside to be able to get in. Your circumstances may change with seasons, and so our pleas may need to change a little bit. So, kind of funny, my child, before I started saying no car accidents, my child had two car accidents. And I was like, there's what we need to do. We're going to start pleading the blood of Jesus over no car accidents in any of our vehicles. So some things change and some things happen in our lives that make us tweak the way we plead the blood of Jesus. Some things in some people's lives that we're pleading the blood of Jesus over may need more emphasis on something. I know with my husband's work, he has clients, and he had a couple of clients to leave. And so, of course, that's not good. So I started, as I'm praying over his work and over all that, I started asking God that he's led consciously and unconsciously into exactly what to say to those clients so that they want to bring their accounts and that they want to leave their accounts there, that they don't want to take their accounts, because that's money that comes and goes out of our family's pocket. So I want to keep those funds in my pocket. So those are the times that you want to tweak the way that you plead the blood of Jesus. I know that sometimes my emotions get the better of me. So I work a little bit harder on my emotions when I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my emotions. And I ask for some very specific things as I'm doing that. My weight loss. As a lot of you know, I've lost quite a bit of weight. But it's been God. It's been through prayer. I plead the blood of Jesus over, as I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my body, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my weight, that I am losing weight. In the name of Jesus, my body only craves and desires the foods that it needs to function and operate at its highest and best. I pray that over myself because I want to continue to lose the weight. I want to be able to be healthy and to be able to do God's work. So, you know, my child is becoming a young adult, and sometimes we have influences in our lives that in my eyes may not look like the right influences. And so I started, as I prayed over her path and her journey through life, I would ask the Holy Spirit to take anyone off her path that's not supposed to be there, and to only put in the people in her path that are supposed to be there, that are going to keep her on the right path. So having said that, though, in my mind, my human mind, my flesh mind, there are a couple of people that I feel like may be bad influences, but let me tell you, you know the devil's sneaky, right?
Yes.
So I have to take all of that out of my mind. I have to say that prayer and give it to God, because guess what? The people that I think are good influences really could be the devil in disguise. So I've got to give it to God and let Him take it, because those that I think need to be gone, those might be the ones that are teaching her a lesson. So I've handed that to God, and God will handle it. I don't have to do anything with it. Once I plead the blood of Jesus over it, it's done. Sometimes things may need to be added. I know in the summertime, I keep going back to Emily. I'm sorry, baby. But in the summertime, hers is the one I have to change up a lot just because she's growing and learning. But in the summertime, she would lifeguard. So during the summertime, I would actually have to pray that God, if she had to go in and rescue someone, that her body could physically handle it and do it, that her mind would be alert, and that she could be able to pull that person out or whatever she needed to do that rescue. Her emotions would stay calm. But that was only during that season. So after she was no longer lifeguarding, that part could come off. So sometimes we've got to add things in seasons. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and stay tuned to Him. He will tell you what to plead the blood of Jesus over. Believe it or not, He'll guide you. He'll tell you what to say. Just listen to Him. And most important, don't forget yourself. Because if you are the spiritual authority in your family, they need you to continue pleading the blood. And guess what? You're the one Satan wants to take down. So don't forget to plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Sometimes we have to do it more than once. And I'm going to give you an example of this. So I don't know, how many of you have ever been in a heated argument with your spouse in the morning? So or maybe in the middle of the day you're having a phone conversation and it gets a little heated. So I have found myself in the ride home, you know, I'm thinking, oh God, I got to go home to this now. He's going to be in a bad mood. He's cranky, you know, just all the things that we shouldn't be saying. So you know what I've started to do when I start hearing myself do that? I start calling out, binding those evil spirits. Spirit of conflict, you got to go. You can't be in my house. Spirit of war, you can't be in my house. You've got to go. I'm calling in a spirit of peace. I'm calling in a spirit of love and of patience into my home. You have to do that, and that's okay. That is okay. We want those things, those good things, and guess what? Typically when I get home, things are good. It's almost like all has been forgotten. Just listen to your spirit man. He'll guide you. He'll instruct you. John 16:13. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them right now. And this is in the Message. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of Truth, He will take you by the hand and He will guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to Himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I have done and said, He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, He takes from me and delivers to you. So the Holy Spirit is taking exactly what God is telling Him, and He's bringing it to you.
Amen.
He's leading and guiding you, but what He's bringing to you is exactly what God has given Him. God knows how it all ends. He knows how it all ends. So allow the Spirit to guide you, because I promise it's easier that way. That way we don't get ourselves into trouble. If we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into what to say, into how what we need to plead the blood of Jesus over, into how we need to plead the blood of Jesus, that will keep us out of trouble. I want to leave you with this. Satan is a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe through the precious blood of Jesus, and we are victorious.
Yeah.
Just remember that, guys. As you go along, if Satan attacks you, he's already defeated. He's done. He's finished. And we can tell him that. No more. You're done. It's over. Just remember that. Thank y'all. Oh, one quick thing. If anybody is interested in reading, this book right here, I read this on multiple times. This is an amazing book. It's called Protecting Your Family in Dangerous Times. It's actually written by Kelly Copeland, Kenneth Copeland's daughter. But this book, it really will bring some things to light for you and help you in, give you some ideas about pleading the blood of Jesus over your family to keep them safe.
Amen.